ask these things in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Thank you. And if you'll turn with me in your Bible, right now we do the old iPad or iPhone, iPod, whatever you may have, to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to begin our reading this morning at verse 19. It's page 1105 in our Pew Bible. The writer of the Hebrews writes these words, therefore, brothers, and the word that she uses is actually brothers and sisters. Brothers, sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he, Jesus, has inaugurated for us through the curtain that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. May God bless to our hearts and our understanding this reading from his word, the Bible. One of the great questions that people seem to ask on a regular basis over the years is, why do church? Why do church? Why go to church? Why should I be in church? Why do I really need it? I've told you the story of some years ago, a husband and wife who got up early and Sunday morning, the wife was getting dressed to go to church, but as she was getting dressed, she noticed that her husband, he hadn't even begun to make the slightest effort to get dressed to go to church. And so finally, she asked him, why aren't you getting dressed for church? He says, because I don't want to go. You ever hear that before? I don't want to go. She said, well, do you have a good reason why you don't want to go to church? Give you three. First is that the congregation isn't a very friendly congregation. Secondly, most of them really don't even like me. And third, I just don't want to go. And the wife looked at him and said, well, I have three very good reasons why you should go. First of all, that church is very, very friendly. And secondly, there are some people in that church. Matter of fact, most of those people like you very much. And the third and most important reason why you should get up, get dressed, and go to church today is you're the pastor. Amen, bro. I saw the story this past week of an old-fashioned lady in her years, up in her years, who was planning a couple weeks vacation in Florida. And as she was making her plans, you know, she's that generation that was very delicate and elegant about her life and her language. And so she knew she was going to be staying at some campground. And she really was very concerned to make sure that they had appropriate toilet facilities. And so she wrote the camp director a letter, but she began to write it being elegant and delicate. She didn't feel comfortable putting inside her letter the word toilet. And she kept pondering, what could she use? And finally, she decided to use a phrase that is before my years, but was very evidently used regularly during the time. And she was going to use the word bathroom commode. And so she wrote the letter asking about their bathroom commode facilities at this cramped camp. But she didn't feel comfortable about that. So she just decided to use the letters BC. And so she wrote this letter to the campground owner and basically asked, does the campground have its own BC? Well, upon receiving this letter, the camp owner really couldn't mix BC. What is BC? And he kept thinking, what would BC be? And not being able to figure it out for himself, he asked the other campers that were staying there, what do you think she means by BC? And they couldn't piece it together. And finally, he figured out she was asking, was there a Baptist church there on the facility? And so with that, he responds with this letter to her. Dear madam, I regret very much the delay in answering your letter, but I now take pleasure in informing you that the BC is located 9 miles north of the campsite and is capable of seating 250 people at one time. I admit it's quite a distance away if you are in the habit of going regularly. But no doubt you will be pleased to know that a great number of people take their lunches along and make it a day. They usually arrive early and stay late. The last time my wife and I went was 6 years ago, and it was so crowded, we had to stand up the whole time we were there. So it may interest you to know that right now there is a supper planned to raise money to buy more seats. They plan to hold the supper in the middle of the BC, so everyone can watch and talk about this great event. I would like to say it pains me very much not to be able to go more regularly, but it's surely not for lack of desire on my part. You know, as we grow older, it seems to be more and more an effort, particularly in cold weather. If you decide to come down to the campground, perhaps I could go with you for the first time to the BC, and I will sit with you, and I will introduce you to all the other folks that are there. This is really a very friendly community. And by the way, just in case you were not sure, I did run that one by me, by my wife, to read this morning.
And in church, no.
And in church, yes. All those two stories to begin by saying people do ask the question, and sadly, even ministers I know have at times when they're off will say, why should I go to church? After all, I do this every Sunday. And then there are others that just have a great misunderstanding of what the church, the Baptist church, or any church, is all about. Why should we be there? I mean, is it really relevant for the world that we live in today? And I have, over the years, had people literally say to me, you know, after my last experience, I'm done with the church. There are others that have asked the question to me, do I really need to go to church after all? My relationship with God is personal. Others are saying, well, I've kind of grown weary of organized religion. The one that really has become more prevalent is people saying to me, well, you know, I think the church is nothing more than a man-made institution anyhow. It's not God's idea. All this is true. Why do we do church? Well, the reason we do church is really spoken of by the writer who wrote this letter to the Hebrews this morning. As you look at that, verse 22, as we begin reading Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, there are three "let us" that are in this portion of Scripture, but it really begins by saying, let us draw near with a true heart. Some translations, like the New International Version, the New Living Translation, help us understand what he's saying there. When he writes, ultimately, they include in their translation, let us draw near to God. And so the reason why we do church, and by the way, I recognize because you're here, all the weeks that I've been working on this, I kept saying to myself, I'm going to preach a message that ultimately is like preaching to the choir. You're here. Tell me something I don't know. That's why I'm here. The truth is, I realized I needed to share this with you because first I need to confirm to you why it is you're here, and it's good you're here. But then it's for us to really, with the second half of what I would share with you for this portion of the Bible is about, is it's for us really to be sharing with others, those that are part of our church family here, that are not here, not here regularly, and those who are in our community that we believe would do well to be here, or at some church, but are not. Because the very first thing we need to know is we need dedicated and focused time with God. That's really the bottom line. Why do church? We need dedicated, focused time with God. That's why when he writes this, our English doesn't really make it clear, but it's written in what's called an imperative, a command. And he's saying, we should, we must. God calls on us to draw near to him, to God, with a sincere heart. He begins by talking about the sanctuary that Jesus has allowed us to come directly to God, that when he died on the cross, we read in the Bible, so the veil of the temple was torn in two. Well, what he wanted us to understand, and what we needed to know from that, was that God is a holy God. How do we have a relationship, daily relationship, come directly face to face to a living God when we're guilty of sin? Well, Jesus came to forgive our sin, to take that sin away, to make us holy so that we could come before him, before a living God, have a relationship with God, and so that when he died on the cross and the veil of the temple was torn in two, it was no longer for some high priest who could alone go one day a year before God. That veil was torn so that it says now you and I can come to God, and God wants us to come to him.
Amen.
I think that's what we need to understand. This is what God wants. Tells us in the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2 that God makes the world and all that we see around us. He creates it, as the scripture says, in 6 days, and then it says that he rested on the seventh. Now, it wasn't that God worked hard for 6 days and God finally goes, I'm exhausted. I think I'll stop. It's day seven. I'm worn out. I need a break. We don't understand that to be the case. He said he rested and ceased from his work, and he made it a holy day, he said. But holy because it was an example for us that you and I may labor 6 days. But he's telling us that there is a day that we need to rest. But it's just not just resting from work, but resting and spending time with him. That's why I said he made it holy. He set it apart as a day for us to spend with him, to focus on him and him on us. So much important was it that he made it a command. And so as I give you in the outline, in Exodus chapter 20, when we read the commands of God, one of those 10 commands says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. To keep it holy. The word holy merely means set apart. It's not folding our hands and oh. The word holy literally means set apart. It says, you labor 6 days, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, one for you to spend time with the Lord. And not to do any work. In other words, we all need rest, physically, mentally, emotionally. We need a break. But the greatest break to have is taking a break and being with the Lord, allowing him to refresh us. Because he said, the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and everything in it. In 6 days he rested the seventh. Therefore he blessed the Sabbath day, declared it as holy, set aside as something special for us to spend with him. And sadly, people throughout the religious community of that day, leading into the day of Jesus, began to lose sight of its significance and God's intention for it, and turned it really into ritual and law. Well, okay, I charge into church, so I do my thing for God, appease God, and then run right back out and go back to the world that I left. Anybody know anybody that said? That's not what God planned or intended. And Jesus gets that in the New Testament. You don't rush in, do your thing, and rush right back out. And we think of God for about an hour. And God forbid if it goes longer than 59 minutes. 60 minutes of stretching. And now an hour and five. God, you're asking a lot for my week. That becomes the ritual. And God says, really, Is that a difficult thing for you to spend time with me? Really? Is it that hard? That's why Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man. In Mark 10, chapter 2, verse 27, he says, you guys missed it. He said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It's not about a day and a ritual and rules and going through the motion. He said, God made this because you, how he made you, just by the very way and nature that he made you and who you are, whether you realize it or not, you and I need this. Everyone that he's ever made needs this. We may deny it, look the other way from it, but we're missing. There's something missing in our lives, and we may, I think many of us are aware of it, but we just can't put our finger. What is it I'm missing? For so many, it's this. We're missing that this is why he made us. This is his purpose for us. You see, the church is not a human invention. That's a little note. You need to know this. The church is not a human invention. The church is God's idea. And so when people say, well, this is a human invention. No, it's not. Right here, he made a day for us to spend time with him because we need that time. And Jesus goes even further in the New Testament when in Matthew 17, Jesus says these words, I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it.
Amen.
Who's building the church? The church is not man's invention. Please, read the book. Don't let anybody dissuade you. The church is God's idea. Not that he needs our worship. He loves our worship. He recognized we need to worship him and realize that our protection, our provision, our future, all that makes us all that we will be and ever be, flow from God. And when we don't spend time with him, we miss that. We miss that life, that infusion that comes from a living God. And so he says in these words, draw near to me. God's church is his reason, his purpose. He recognized that we have a need that we have to interact with him on a weekly basis. We can do it on a daily basis. But what he's really recognizing and trying to teach these people here is there comes a time when we need to just, we can do this all the time. We can be worshiping God and thinking of God, praying to God throughout the week. But there comes a time when we just need to stop from it all, the craziness, the hecticness of life, and just get away from it. That's where we come to a place like this where we can let the walls just push away all those things so that we can come here and focus together on the presence and the wonder of God.
Amen.
For those of you that are a parent, you'll understand what I have to say where when Patty and I got married nearly now 19 years ago, our combined families brought together 5 kids, 1 in high school, and I guess 2 heading for the rest in junior high. Do I have to tell you that we lived in a world of craziness? Between the sports and the jobs, we got married and we soon discovered that it was normal for us to have dinner at 10 o'clock at night. Supper, 10 o'clock at night. Try to go to sleep, okay? Eat supper, do the dishes, go to bed. I can't sleep. Why? Because my stomach is. So what do we do? Well, we kept it up until that first child got a driver's license.
Yeah.
We're eating at 9 o'clock because we let them do some of the driving. You want to drive? You drive the kids. You help us out. And then 2 more got driving. Now we got 3 driving. This is great. This is what it's like to eat at 8 o'clock at night. And by the time we had 4 of them driving, we were eating at 7 o'clock at night. This was like heaven on earth. Craziness. It was still crazy. And so you know how we realized that we were doing this together. Spending time together, chasing and meeting one another, calling on our phone. But we realized that one time out of the week for a couple hours each week, It was basically a rule. We just got away from everybody. I mean everybody. And it was just Patty and I. We went out and we had that special time alone, just the two of us. Remember?
Would that be cell phone?
No.
Brad doesn't get mad, but Brad gets even. I was better then. Matter of fact, 18 years ago, I don't think I had a cell phone. I might have still been living on a pager. We are here today with the love and the relationship we have one another because we needed those moments alone to grow together as a couple, minus the jobs and the kids and everybody and everything else. And that's what we need as Christians with God. Now the second half I'll mention very briefly is this. God established it, we need it, but we also need dedicated and focused time with other Christians. And that's what he talks about in verses 24 and 25 when he says that we need to be concerned about one another. So we come here to promote love for God and love for one another and good works. Tom kind of talked about that earlier today. What's Rise about? It's about love and good works. What's the church about? Love and good works. And we need to be together to encourage one another. And he goes, now here's the key. He said, don't be staying away from our meetings as some habitually do, but rather be coming together to encourage each other because Jesus is coming. I'm ready. I like how some of the other translations say, don't neglect the assembling together. The word really there is, do not neglect assembling together. Christmas comes, and if you've had kids, Christmas Eve is there, and you open up a box that you have to assemble stuff. You open it up, you tear the bag open, and out falls 300 parts. And you look. And there's instructions. My favorite's the exploded one. This is what it looks like, exploded with all the parts. Remember, did you ever see that ones? And now you're supposed to take all these and bring it all together. Now, it says we are to assemble. We have to take each of them and intentionally put it together. It's not taking a rake and saying, oh, there's all the parts. Merry Christmas. Scattered about. It's being assembled together. That's what we talked about last week when we talked about that we are all parts of the body. We come together to do God's work and every part is valuable. Well, part of that is coming together and doing the work of God, but sometimes we just need together to encourage one another in living the life. That's really what the writer of the Hebrews is saying. You and I need to do church because we need it. Because sometimes there's someone in the church that's going through something that we have and they need to hear from us. Because we've been there. And then there are times where people, well, they come and they can see that we need them. Because we need to be encouraging one another in the love for God and how we live that love out. The hope that we're going to have. The good work that God's called us to do. And we need to be there to be encouraging one another in that experience. That's really what he's saying. Notice it says that he, God, put everything under Jesus' feet. Jesus' feet. In Ephesians 1. God appointed Jesus as the head over everything for the church, which is his body. The church is the body of Jesus. We're part of Jesus, the body of Christ. Spiritually. And what he's saying there, what I want to remind you of is, we don't get this. I had to make sure you got this. We don't go to church. If you're a Christian, you don't go to church. You know why you don't go to church? Because you are the church. You are it. It's not something we do. It's not something we go to. When we begin to follow Jesus, it's something we become a part of and we are. And so when we're not here, well, there are folks that are missing us, but we're missing them. Right. Because it's something that we just are. And the people in the early days of the church, after Jesus was ascended to heaven and they looked for his return, and the disciples, the apostles began to do their work as Jesus directed them. It tells us in Acts chapter 2 that every day, again, imagine this one, Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together. Forget one time a week. They needed to be living their life together. They were a family. We can say we're a family, but if we just can only hang for an hour a week and can barely get that through, that's not much of a family. At least that fitting and feeling part of that family. They did it and said every day they devoted themselves in the temple complex, and then they met and broke bread together house to house. It wasn't just on Sunday. They said, hey, what are you doing Tuesday night? What are you doing Thursday night? Hey, what do you say we get together Saturday night? We need to be together, this relationship as Christians. We need this. They ate food with joyful and humble attitude, praising God, having favor with all the people. And you know what happened from that? It said the Lord added to their number daily those who were saved. You see, it caught on because other people kept saying, I don't know what it is you're doing. I don't know what it is you have. I want that. I'm missing that. There's something. I got friends, but there's something about what you have that I don't have. What is that? Well, it's a family of God. Because that's how he birthed us into this world, to be part of. And when we're missing that, we're missing out life. It's life as God desired and created you to have an experience. That's why it's such a priority. Let me bring this together with this. There was a man that he stopped going to church. He'd been previously active, he stopped going. Minister caught on, and so he went to his house one day, knocked on the door. Man opened the door, didn't say a word. The minister walked in. Man didn't say this to him, just pointed to his living room. Invited the room, pointed to a chair, big stuffed chair. Minister sat down in the chair. Minister didn't say a word, not even the man. Man sat down, quiet. Nothing being said. Minister looked at the fireplace, beautiful fire burning. Looked at the man just watching. Minister got up, took the tongs, and took one little piece of log, and took it out of the fire, laid it on the hearth. Tom's back, and sat down in the chair, and within a few moments, looked at that log, and that log that was burning with fire, orange hot. And it's now turning dark and black, and the flame is beginning to go out, growing cold. Minister got back up, took the tongs, put that log up in the tongs, put it back in the fire. Tom's back, stood there for a minute. That log began to burn bright again. Yeah. The fire began to burn, the log began to glow warm. With that, he looked at the man and walked toward the door. The man opened the door, finally said his first words. Reverend, thank you so much for coming. And thank you for your fiery sermon. I'll see you in church this Sunday. See, without saying a word, what he pointed out was that that log could not burn, be warm and full of flame of fire by itself. It needed to be with the other logs in the fire. That's kind of true for you and me. We need each other. Do we need church? Yes. Can we survive without the church? Yeah. You can survive. But I'm going to tell you what, you will never grow and live the life that God wants you to live if it's easy to absent yourself from the church. And let me tell you, it's easy. You say, well, you didn't minister. Of course you're going to say that. Some of you may remember or know, most of you may know, that I wasn't always a pastor, preacher. Oh, I went to it on the side, but for a time I was flying for U.S. Air Express as a pilot and then working in the finance world. And so I didn't have to go to church on Sunday. And for a time, I probably didn't because I was tired like everybody else and wanted to sleep in like everybody else. But I started going more and more. And I began to realize that the more I went, C3 says, don't neglect the habit of meeting together. There's a habit of coming. Because as I started to go, I began to realize how much I just enjoyed being there. You may not realize this. Your experience is different than mine on a Sunday. I love what I do. I really do. And I really don't want to do anything else. I really don't. But I'm working this morning. There was a time in my life where I was out here doing this with you. And there's times where I miss that. Where I just sat, I just worshiped, I just listened, I just prayed. So that when I go on vacation, people say, you go on vacation from God, you know, I just have to go to church when I go on vacation. Because I want to be where you are. Because there are times where I just miss the simplicity of going to church and just sitting there with you, with God's people, and greeting God's people, and hanging out with God's people, and just simply quietly on my own praising God, and nobody sees me, nobody knows me necessarily, and just letting God know I love him. And I remember those days when I did that week to week, and then somehow we'd have something happen in a week and I'd miss it, and my week just wasn't the same. I got my days wrong, and things just didn't seem right in my world. There was something missing because I missed being with God's people. I understood that phrase that I close with you today. That 7 days without God and without one another. So the Christians, it makes 1 week. 7 days without God and one another makes 1 week. But the week I spell is W-E-A-K. W-E-A-K. Makes us weak, keeps us from growing, keeps us from being going, God wants us to be. And that's why I share this with you and invite you to share this with others. You see, God commanded this to us to do because it's so important to him, because he knows it's important to us. He made it so that we would have time with him, we'd have time with one another, so we could speak into our lives. In the songs we sing, the anthem as it's sung, the message as it's shared, to pray together, to encourage one another when we leave here today. Why do we do church? Because God knows we need it. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you for being here today. Thank you for creating for us, establishing for us something you knew that we would need. There are some who are even here today who they may just need that one person who's here to speak into their life a word of encouragement, a word of wisdom, to pray with them, to laugh with them, to cry. That's why we're here. That's why we're a family. That's why you established it. You made it. And it's something that I pray, God, in a world that we're living in today that doesn't see really the need for it, why do church? That our church will be one of many without throughout the United States today. Will be a catalyst in realizing that we do this because we need it. And you made it because you love us. And that's why you look forward to meeting us in this place, these walls, holding out the cares, concerns, and troubles of the world. You just come here to quietly meet with us. So you're with us every day, all the time, but to allow this to be a special time.